Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Just for a Podcast, a High School Musical, the musical, the series podcast, hosted by me, Ivy.
And me, Lauren.
Guys, I finally got a new chair to record this podcast in. This means nothing to you all, because, like, you don't know the chair I was recording in before.
They don't see the behind the scenes.
You guys don't know the setup, but the chair that I had was barely big enough to fit my large dumpy. So I was uncomfortable as hell, but I got a new chair now, so I'm actually comfortable, so I can record at my desk more, which means you're not going to be hearing my laptop fan, because for whatever reason, I guess it's because my laptop's on a flat surface, so the fan doesn't go as crazy as when I'm recording in my bed, but in reality, that's why I would record in my bed so much, because I didn't want to sit in that uncomfortable chair.
And what's funny is I'm recording from bed today, so let's hope my fan doesn't go off.
Yours is usually pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully. Knock on wood.
So what's been up with you the past week or so?
Quite literally nothing. I finished Outer Banks. I need to finish my reread of Daisy Jones and the Six, because I'm going to, like, one of the early premieres this week.
I need to read it in general. Should I just buy it on my iPad today and try to get through it before Friday?
Yes. Absolutely yes.
And just, like, speed read it? How long is it? Let me see. Is it...
I read it in a day, but also I'm a really fast reader.
I was gonna say, you know me. not my zhuzh. Okay, a lot more lately than before, but still not as much my zhuzh. I'm not a fast reader, girly.
I'm quite the speed
368?
Reader.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll start it when we're done.
I finished it in hours. Yeah, just read it. I need to finish by Wednesday, which is totally doable.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll finish it before Friday, for sure. Because I hear a lot about it, and I want to read it before the show comes out. Who am I? I used to never be a "I want to read it before the show comes out" kind of girl.
I know, but literally, who are you?
But I did that. You're with me. Summer I Turned Pretty. I think the first thing I read before the show.
See, I didn't read The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I did. And I love those books, but I love anything Jenny Han writes. Well, yeah. I think the first thing I read... Also, sorry it's really windy here, y'all.
It's windy there. It's rainy here.
It's been on and off. On and off, like, rainy and windy all day. But, like, my electricity went out before I went to the gym.
Oh, it better not go off right now.
No, I literally was in the... I was making a TikTok. I was filming a TikTok just using a stupid little Outer Banks, like, who's your Outer Banks twin filter, and my electricity went out in the middle of it.
From the very beginning.
Well, the real question is, who's your twin?
And Pope.
Not Debbie Ryan.
Tammy.
With everything.
I was shook. I think the first thing I read before the movie/show came out was To All the Boys I've Loved Before, probably.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other, like, book to movie adaptations I've even really read. Because I read To All the Boys before they came out, and I read Summer I Turned Pretty before the show came out. All three of those.
Well, now add Daisy Jones.
Yeah, I'll finish it within the next few days. No problem. No problem. What? Where is that from? I see it. No problem. Oh, it was Adam Levine talking. It was Adam Levine imitating Shakira on The Voice. He said,
"That is so niche, Ivy."
No, because I think of that video all the time where Shakira was like, "I, Shakira Mebra, from Barranquilla, Colombia, solemnly swear I'm gonna take you to the top in this competition." And then Adam was like, "I, Orlando Levine, from Los Angeles, California, I promise I'm gonna take you to the top, no problem." And, like, all the time. Like, I'll go, no problem.
Now I'm going to start saying it.
You should. It'll just be an us thing. An us and everybody yeah. listening to this thing.
Yeah.
And Adam SAG, Levine. And Adam Levine and Shakira. The SAG Awards were, okay, first of all, Poglandia. Still bitter that I did not get to go to Poglandia because
yeah.
the fact that they had Khalid performing at an Outer Banks music festival.
That's quite literally
saying
you.
It is me in a box. And Niles Fitch was there.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that.
I'm like, Khalid, Outer Banks cast, and Niles Fitch all in one place is so unfair that I was not in attendance. Don't get me started. I'm still bitter. So overall, okay, just overview. What were your thoughts on season 3?
I thought it was okay. I like 1 and 2 more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the best part of 3 was Cleo.
Oh, absolutely.
Just having her. A good chunk of it felt like fake to me. I was like, what am I watching right now?
Let's be honest. Spoilers for Outer Banks.
No, kinda. Don't spoil it. It just came out.
I'm just saying in an overview, Big John could have stayed dead.
Oh, yeah.
His character added nothing. And in all honesty, his character messed more things up than he, like, added to the show.
Yeah, his character was, like, key yelling in season 2.
I said it before, like, him making John B, like, feel awkward threw off the entire dynamic of the Pogues, which is such, like, the appeal to the show is them as an ensemble. And him kind of separating John B from them made everything else fall apart. And it
yeah, but also, I think that came part because of the breakup.
But he was the cause of that.
From a business end. No, but the in real life breakup.
Oh.
Like,
yes
if
and
I,
no.
Me looking
like,
at
I feel
it
like
from
they
a
still
business
had,
standpoint.
I feel like they still had chemistry, like, when they were still together in the show.
I think so, too, but it's because it was limited.
That's true.
You know.
Chemistry, on the other hand. Rudy and Madison had...
Wait, don't spoil it.
I'm saying they had a ton of chemistry in season 1, which is why fans went crazy and started shipping them as people, which was, like... what drove them away from each other so much and why Madison was like, stop telling me I need to date Rudy. I have a girlfriend. And like, obviously we all know like Rudy has a girlfriend too. And people took it too far to the point that Madison and Rudy did not like hang out as much or take pictures like they used to or have fun like they did during like
Larry
the season
Stylinson.
1. Good God. Yeah, like that, like their friendship and after the first season was so cute and then people took it too far. And so now like their chemistry is just not there.
I know. And it hurts.
I know. I hate it. Cause like, I'm not even like on one end or the other on the JJ Pope, Giara spectrum. I'm just kind of like, it is what it is. We all know that Jonas Pate is not going to make this show gay, no matter how much the cast mentions
Period.
It. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my God, we're going to get JJ Pope. Because I'm sorry, I hate to break it to y'all. Jonas Pate is not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
No.
So, like, I feel like it was inevitable that JJ and Key were going to get together. Like, they were setting it up since season 1.
Yeah.
But the fact that their chemistry in comparison to what it was in season 1 is just not there is sad.
It's not the same.
So I didn't really spoil anything. I just said like a general sense.
Yeah.
Just
if you watch
overview.
1 and 2.
Yeah. The SAG Awards were yesterday. Everybody looked amazing.
I saw a few, but I was, like, so busy at work. And I was asleep when it was happening, so I only saw glimpses. But I
saw Zendaya. Did you see Zendaya? Both fits? Duh.
Yes.
Exactly. Did you see Aubrey Plaza and Jenna Ortega presenting together?
I did. That was on my feed.
It was so funny. I love them.
And then I saw Amy Poehler and Adam Scott reunite with Aubrey Plaza in the background. Like, those photos. Oh, they were so cute.
The pictures of Zendaya and Jenna Ortega? Queens.
I don't know if I saw them. Queen. Oh, no, I did.
There's...
Oh, yeah.
That one and then that one.
Ugh, slay.
Amazing. And then, of course, Zendaya and Andrew got a photo together. My favorite kind of photo.
Well, weren't they... Oh, no. I was like, no. She was sitting next to Austin, not Andrew.
It was Zendaya, Austin... No, I think Andrew was at the table, too. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he was at the table? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think Sally Field was at the table, too, because... Oh, my God, guys. Andrew Garfield presenting Sally Field with the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I didn't see the video, but I saw photos.
Have you seen the TikTok of Sally Field was, like, doing an interview and Andrew was checking up on her to make sure she was okay?
Oh. My heart.
Makes me want to cry. She was like... I'm this old, and he's, like, checking up on me, and he's the best. And I was like, God, because you're his Aunt May. Peter 3 heart. It's Peter 3 and Aunt May. You mean that much to him. No, and, like, Sally Field was going through all the roles she's had. She's like, I've played this, and I've done this person. And she's like, and I was Spider-Man's aunt. And, like, Andrew was in the background just smiling, and I was like, I'm gonna cry.
I would have lost it.
Aside from that, I just did ab exercises and want to fall in a hole. But what are we talking about this week, Lo?
We are wrapping up Wednesday, covering episode 8, the last episode, A Murder of Woes.
It's wild that this is the last one.
I know.
A synopsis of this episode. It was good. Wednesday lands in trouble with Principal Weems, but that's just the start of her problems. To fight an ancient evil, she'll need all of her friends' help. What's your first note?
Corny.
They're always corny.
That one's like uber corny.
I don't know what's worse, the Netflix ones or the Disney Plus ones? The Disney Plus ones.
There's no contest. This is the Disney Plus.
The Disney Plus ones have puns in them.
Yeah. I kind of just dive right in. Thing gives Tyler a note, so they meet up in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm. And Wednesday is telling Tyler how everything adds up, that he's the Hyde. And he says something about, like, her being all, like, if you think I'm the monster, why are you here all alone? And she was like, who said I'm all alone? And then all the friends come out. And I don't know why half of these people are backing her up.
Oh, I know. Like, I get Bianca, but no one else.
I guess, like, Kent and the other siren girl whose name I feel like is never said.
Yeah.
I guess they're just there to help Bianca, which in turn is helping Wednesday.
Yeah, that's, I guess.
And Ajax is there with Enid, so, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I really thought that at this point, Tyler had no recollection. Like, he was playing it so well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, well, like, I guess he doesn't know. I guess he's, like, then minutes later.
So Wednesday is explaining to Tyler the history. She said your dad fell in love with an outcast, and she looked at his mom's.
I predicted that, didn't I?
I think you said his mom was an outcast. I think you did, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she tells Tyler that she found his mom's, medical file, and his mom was a Hyde. And the saddest thing about it is that his, so, we said before, Hydes have to be triggered by a traumatic event, or...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
ugh.
She was... her, like, monster brought out from her postpartum depression.
That is just so sad.
Like, imagine going through postpartum depression and then, well, okay, so what I want to know is when Weems says later on in the episode that she knew Tyler's mom went to Nevermore, but she never asked her what she identified as.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if Tyler's mom even knew she was a Hyde, or if it, like, just came out because of the postpartum. Like, that was the first time anything happened.
Yeah, because, like, how would she have known she wasn't a normie?
Well, like, Wednesday is at the school, like, even... Well, I guess she did start having her visions, like, before she went there.
I don't know. Because, like, her mom already knew she was having visions.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe her parents knew something, you know, and then, like, put her in the school.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, because Alondra and I were discussing it last night, like, how awful it is that her Hyde was brought out from her postpartum, because that most likely means that Tyler was the master. Like, an infant newborn baby.
Oh.
Like, was probably, because I guess Tyler's the cause of, like, the traumatic event and, like, triggered it. So,
that's so interesting.
Yeah, so Alondra was like, imagine this newborn baby is hungry and wants a bottle and is crying and screaming, and then, like, his mom just is literally on a murderous rampage and she doesn't know why.
Yikes.
Like, just the thought of that is so horrible. Like, you're already going through postpartum depression, that's bad enough, and then you find out, like, you are a murderous creature.
Creature. Monster.
That's terrifying.
And then I was feeling bad, because I was feeling bad for Tyler, because Wednesday was torturing him, and I really thought he didn't know.
Oh, he was full chained up, locked. Yeah. I love how they're using Xavier's shack for this, because Xavier's currently in jail, because yeah, Wednesday, like, put him in jail. And then we get a full intro sequence for the first time, which I think was so cool that they waited until the finale to have the full intro sequence, yeah, with the little, like, hints at everyone's character.
When it was playing, I was like, wait, have I seen this? Like, I was like, have I been skipping? But then I realized I haven't.
No, that's how I was the first time I watched it. I was like, this wasn't in all the other ones, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Kimbot was worried about Tyler. We find a voice recording of her saying that she thinks that Tyler's mom's death triggered something, like, worse within him mentally. And she's concerned. So the sheriff is not pressing charges for Wednesday literally kidnapping and torturing his, yeah, son.
Like, even if I owed you, I feel like I would still press charges on, like, the torture, you know?
Oh, these two YouTubers that I watched react to Wednesday were talking the whole time about how they were like, Wednesday's the son he always wanted, but he never got. Because, like, because the sheriff just kind of lets Wednesday do whatever she wants.
That's true.
And, like, as much as he acts like he's annoyed by her, he's still, like, he never gets her in trouble.
Yeah. He, like, cares for her in some way.
Yeah. So, that's he's funny. Not pressing charges. And Wednesday just goes full head on and asks the sheriff how long he's known that Tyler was a Hyde. And the sheriff is, you can tell, he's denying it, but you can tell there's a part of him that,
yeah,
believes it.
He knows.
And then we have Tyler's full on Void Styles switch in the freaking police station.
What does it feel like to lose? I gasped. No. Jaw on the floor.
I literally told Alondra last night, I said, this is the scene where they have Styles in, like, chains.
Yeah.
And he's crying, and Melissa comes over, and she's like, hey, are you okay? And he just looks up and goes, Melissa. And I was like,
the chills.
No,
the chills
I got
when
gagged,
both happened.
Gagged me.
Yeah. I was like,
no, oh, literally both God. Of them. Like, whenever he was like, Wednesday, what does it feel like? And he just got his normal voice to lose. I was like, Oh shit, he went there.
No, literally, I wrote "oh shit" on in my notes.
No, it's like wild because you think this whole time that.
Like, I believed him.
That he had no idea. And I feel like, still to an extent, because he said, like, he was like, oh, at first I would wake up naked and, like, I had no idea what I was doing. And then, after a while, like, I started to get to the point where, like, I could taste their fear and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which, like, okay, yeah, all this. But also, even though I feel like even though he's acting like that, that's still not him.
Yeah.
Like, even though his hide is not out at the moment, I feel like him pretty much being like, I like killing people. I feel like that's still not him.
It's him mixed with the hide. Like, that's not Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And no one else in the police station heard any of this either.
Well, he was like, give me a minute. So they all left. I don't know why. I would have at least seen.
Yeah, but I think there's a woman, like, at a desk sitting, like, on the side.
He wasn't whispering. I would have been straining my ears.
Like, second he said, what does it be like to lose? I'd be, like, on my phone, like,
yeah. Huh?
Like, did you just say that? So, yeah, this is when I wrote that Weems didn't know that Tyler's mom was a Hyde, per se. And I really want to know if his mom knew, or if, like, the first time she ever turned was when Tyler was born.
I feel like it was. Because it said the postpartum depression.
I feel like there's no way Tyler's dad would have married her if he knew that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it was already, like, such a big deal for him to, like, marry an outcast anyway. I feel like if he knew I feel like if he knew she was, like, a murderous monster, it would not have worked out that way.
Yeah.
So, Wednesday goes and sees Xavier in jail and is explaining. She's like, I know you're not the Hyde. I know it's Tyler. Blah, 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 blah. But then she, just to twist the knife a little more, has to mention that the vision she got was when she kissed him. Like,
and then he's like, what? I'm glad you were getting some action while I was getting arrested.
Because she could have said anything. She could have said just, like, when I touched him. But she could have, like,
just said, I had a vision.
Yeah, like, she was like, I got it in a vision when he kissed me. And I was like,
I was like, girl, read the room.
She really just rubbed it in.
Yeah. That's when you lie by omission.
No, literally. Like, she easily could have just said when he touched me. Like, there could have been any instance.
Yeah.
Of him.
But then, touching her. Then he refuses to help her because he's like, she's toxic. You're toxic.
Which, okay, can we blame him? Just leave.
No. I'd be pretty mad. I mean, I'm chained. He's like, he's we thought Tyler jail. Was chained up, but he's chained. He's chained to the neck, floor.
A neck chained to the floor.
Yeah.
Like, this looks full on, like Miley Cyrus Can't Be Tamed music video, chained to the ground. Wait, weren't there chains in that? What was there chains in? Did she have chains?
Can't be tamed.
She did? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was like, I swear I'm not crazy.
It ain't Party in the USA.
it wasn't Malibu.
Not Malibu.
Wednesday is sad to leave Enid. Obviously, she's not saying this, but we can tell.
Yeah.
Enid tells Wednesday that Eugene woke up. And Wednesday, of course, still won't hug Enid goodbye. It's their thing.
She's me.
No hugging's their thing. I feel weird to hug you anytime I see you.
I just
you.
Don't like hugs. Like,
I know, that's why I said I feel weird. I would even hug my mom. Cause, like, usually whenever I, like, land in the airport and I see people, I'm just, like, without even thinking, I'm like, oh, hey. But when it's you, I'm just like, sup.
If any of you ever see me, do not hug me.
We're actually not friends, guys.
I'm just kidding. I'll hug.
That's one of my resolutions this year, is to show my affection better.
That's so sad. That's so sad.
Because also, like, my other friend, Hayden, was like, I was telling her that, and she's like, yeah, because you only say, I love you too. Like, I never am the first one to say, I love you.
I don't even know the last time I said I love you to you, because it just feels weird.
Yeah, don't say it to me, please.
Guys, I do love Lauren. I'm working on it, okay? I do love Lauren, and we are friends. We just don't talk about it.
No.
Because I know...
And let's not talk about it.
No, because I know how you are. I'm the same way with Alondra. Yeah. Like,
well, like, you're... We're both Aquarius, so...
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I know, like, both of you guys, I just don't point it out. I'm like, y'all know you're my best friends. I don't have to say it.
No.
Wednesday tells the Nightshades to be prepared, and Thornhill gives her a parting gift. She gives her a plant. Yeah, they drove to the school. I was going to say, is Wednesday, like, flying back home? What is she just going to take this, like, plant, like, on the plane?
I'm
they
always drove. Wondering how she gets place to place.
Like, to and from? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wednesday stops to see Eugene before she's heading out, and she tells Eugene that he needs to stay away from Nevermore. I love his little bee decor. All his little bee decorations.
So cute.
They're so precious. I love Eugene. He's so sweet. Me too.
I was so happy when he woke up.
And Eugene tells Wednesday that when the Hyde's little cave thing was blown up, he saw Red Boots running away. And Wednesday immediately makes the connection that the Red Boots are Thornhill's Red Boots. Oh, my head's bleeding.
Oh, nice. My shoulder is bleeding.
Sick.
I don't know why.
Tyler is at the school with Wednesday because Wednesday's confronting Thornhill and pretty much telling him her whole, how she lined everything up. And then Thornhill's pretty much just giving the whole story of how she unlocked Tyler's hide. And we literally just see a montage of her grooming him.
Yeah.
Call it what it is. She groomed him.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like when people, like, when the ship wars were such a big thing and people were, like, hating on Wednesday and Tyler so much, obviously because he's the monster and stuff. Like, one, he didn't know he was.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he's literally a child that was groomed by a grown woman.
Yeah. Also, now that you mentioned the ship wars, how did I completely miss all of this? Like, I did all not see it. All of the ship wars? Yeah.
There was so much going on between, like, Wednesday and Xavier, Wednesday and Tyler. Like, Stan Wars. It was intense.
What was the majority, like, when it first came out?
See, that's what's weird. That's what's weird, because I feel like when it first came out, I was seeing... Okay, yeah, here's the thing. I'll call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When it very first came out, I think I was seeing a lot of edits of Wednesday and Tyler, but then the general public found out Hunter was gay and married, and he then married? In turn... Yeah.
I love that.
Somebody famous officiated the wedding, too. Hold on.
Now I'm so excited to stalk all of their Instagrams.
Yeah, I feel like once people found out he was gay and married, I then started seeing a bunch of edits of Wednesday and Xavier.
Interesting, general public.
Because I was like, there's no way. Everybody would still be on the Wednesday-Tyler train, I feel like, if Hunter was a straight man. And they felt like they could still be attracted to him.
I hate that.
No, it's so stupid. So stupid. Who officiated their wedding?
I want to know. Would I know his...
Oh, yeah. Bryan Cranston.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I said, like, somebody famous, like, real famous. I couldn't remember. Wow. Yeah. Bryan Cranston. I don't think you would know his partner from anything.
I will do some
Fielder,
stalking later.
Fielder Jewett? Oh, he's a former film producer, it says.
Mm. When you first watched it, who did you ship?
See, that's the thing. I didn't know. I feel like I wasn't strongly one or the other. I just saw both sides. And also...
I agree. I don't feel super strong, but I think I'm leaning, like, with this first rewatch, I mean, this first watch, I'm leaning more towards Tyler. Like, that's where I am.
And a lot of people are saying it would be interesting now to see Wednesday and Tyler's dynamic if they were to, like, get back together, because they'd go from, like...
But, like, how? Like, how can you get back together after that?
Like, lovers to enemies to, like, lovers again. It'd be crazy.
That would be crazy. I do, and you know I love an enemies to lovers.
See, it's when stuff like this comes out. Oh, by the way, Thornhill is Laurel Gates. We didn't say that.
Oh, yeah.
But things like this, when you rewatch, you'll see Thornhill messed up her coffee order when she said it.
In the weather vane?
So in the weather vane, when she's talking to Mayor Walker, and he's like, oh, have I seen you before? And she says, yeah, like, we haven't really talked, but I see you every day when I'm tucked in the corner for my daily matcha latte, blah, blah, blah. And then at the dance, when Tyler is Wednesday's date, and Wednesday's introducing Tyler to Thornhill, she's like, oh, yeah, Tyler Galpin, yeah, I've seen him at the weather vane. And Tyler like says her coffee order, he's like, oh, like, blah blah blah, this foam, two shots of espresso, something, like, not matcha latte.
Oh,
like it was two completely different things.
Well, I cannot wait to rewatch.
Yeah, so like you get the sense that they know each other and like something isn't adding up.
I knew she was fishy.
So Thornhill tells Tyler to attack Wednesday, but the kicker here, Tyler is actually Weems shapeshifting.
I was shook at that.
Because
like, that one originally got me. I was thinking, why is Tyler suddenly listening to Wednesday?
Wednesday, like all of a sudden.
But I just believed it, and then I was shook.
But, okay, then Weems just really allows herself to get injected in the neck just that easily.
Yeah, it happened so quick.
Also, you're telling me Christina Ricci can
get up
there to Gwendolyn Christie's neck?
Ain't no way.
She's like a foot, like quite literally a foot taller. Cause,
a foot, yeah.
Because Jenna and Christina are like, I think, even like 5 feet tall. And
if Gwendolyn anything, Christie's, like 5'1".
Gwendolyn Christie's like 6'3", or 6'4", or something. Like she would have to literally...
That's crazy. That's like a toddler trying to dunk.
But, so, Weems is dead. Nightshade poisoning straight to the neck. And then Thornhill puts a whole freaking shovel straight to Wednesday's head.
Yeah.
Which, like, how did she survive that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's luck. That's lucky girl syndrome.
Enid's breaking the rules. Got a boy in her room.
Ooh.
Ajax, they're making out. And Eugene calls her. And I love this. That her ringtone for Eugene is Flight of the Bumblebee.
I know.
It's so funny. And when Eugene gets so snappy when he sees Ajax in the background, and he goes, what is he doing in your room?
He was like,
He said, pardon me.
I love the dynamic he has with everyone.
It's so cute. And I feel like the cast treat him like their little brother, like their group little brother.
Aw, that's so cute.
It's so precious. Thing is Amazon in its bed, like, runs in telling Enid everything that's happening, Thornhill's Laurel Gates, yada yada. And all I was thinking about is how Thing is gonna get her white bedspread dirty, because you see dirty Thing, like, gray black on Enid's white bedspread. And I was just like, it's gonna get so dirty and gross.
Ugh, ick.
It's fine. It's fine, though. Oh, I did not know why I wrote, God, that position looks like it would hurt so bad to be stuck in. It's when Wednesday's chained up with her hands up. But what I want to know is, could she not... Okay, so there was, like, a chain hanging from the ceiling with, like, a hook. And then her hands were chained, and there was, like, a chain in between them. And they had that chain on the hook above her. Could she have not just kind of jumped and, like, got it off of the hook?
It must have been, like...
like, too high for her to under. Jump.
Yeah. No, no, I think... or, like, one of the strands was, like, under... like,
I don't know how to give a visual representation of this, but it was... Yeah, it was, like, the hook
here. No, you have to get... you have to give a verbal representation. This is a podcast.
Well, I don't know how to give a verbal explanation for it, for sure. There was, okay, like, like a fish hook.
Oh, what just fell from your ceiling?
My D23 hat.
Oh, okay.
I was also confused. So there's, like, a chain hanging from the ceiling with kind of a fish hook type mechanism at the bottom.
Yes.
And then you have handcuffs... as in, like, you would get arrested with. But the handcuffs that you would get arrested with have a longer chain than the ones you would get arrested with. Because when you get arrested, when you get arrested, it's like your wrists are, like, almost straight together. But hers was a little longer. Yeah. Like, she could hold her arms apart. And that chain was on the fish hook kind of thing. So I feel like she could slide that, like... off of the fish hook.
I feel like one, like you said, she wouldn't have had, like, enough momentum to do that.
To, like, jump up. Yeah.
Yeah. Or two, on the underside, there was, like, something else that wrapped around her handcuffs.
Yeah, because I saw that, and I was like, you still wouldn't have full mobility with your arms, because her, like, wrists are still... but you wouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
So... we find out that the Gates family were descendants of Joseph Crackstone, which is why they hated outcasts so much. Makes sense. Thornhill, Laurel, stole Goody. I feel like we're talking, like, Henry slash Vecna slash one. I feel like I'm, like...
oh, yeah.
like, Thornhill slash Laurel Gates. Spoiler alert for Stranger Things season 4. Sorry.
How dare you, Ivy?
It's been
at this point I started writing Laurel.
Yeah. Laurel stole Goody's book from the Pilgrim World display, the one that Wednesday was looking for episodes ago, and is going to resurrect Joseph Crackstone, but she needs someone in Goody's bloodline because Goody's the one that locked Crackstone in the tomb to begin with, so that's why she has Wednesday. I wrote here that this whole final battle finale would not have been as intense with Thora Birch as Laurel Thornhill.
Because
I feel like having a, like, Wednesday on Wednesday battle.
Yeah.
Like, is...
I wrote...
so wild.
Like, some... where did I write it? Oh, just a couple lines out. I literally wrote, like, how iconic is this, like, having Christina there? Like, not even just as a viewer, but imagine how she felt.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Jenna felt.
Yeah.
That's just so cool.
And it's so crazy that they both say that, like, they never really talked about it. Like, neither of them ever really discussed Wednesday as a character together. They just kind of, like, would talk about each other and, like, ask how they were doing and stuff. Especially because a lot of Christina and Jenna's scenes, they shot so fast because they were, I think... the way they've said it is Christina joined so late that they had to get all of her scenes in really quick because it was Thora. So they resurrect Crackstone, and he, like, he doesn't even come out of the casket. There's just, like, a poof of smoke, and he's there, and he's ugly as can be.
Ugliest pilgrim I ever seen.
And he, and that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of ugly pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Fear Street. You don't like horror movies. Never mind.
No. You can say it to the audience.
Fear Street, 1666, Thomas. I think, okay, there. So in Fear Street, 1666, there's, like, a guy that's essentially using Satan to, like, make it to where this village isn't flourishing, and, like, all of their food and stuff is getting infected, and their mm-hmm. animals are, like, turning demonic and eating each other and stuff.
Oh.
And I truly Wonderful. Think the infection did not start from Satan. I think it started from one of these characters' teeth, because they were the most disgusting things Ew. I'd ever seen in my life. They weren't pilgrims, obviously. 1666 was after that, but when you said ugliest pilgrim I've ever seen, I thought of that man's nasty teeth. Crackstone stabs Wednesday. The sirens are getting all of the students to leave Nevermore because they know there's about to be the big bad, the final Bowser round about to go down.
I thought
down
it was so
school.
Funny how Enid was so mad at Ajax about not telling her anything about the secret
about
society.
The Nightshades.
Like, the side eye she gives him was hilarious.
When Thing did the snap, and Enid yeah. was like, are you kidding? Goody says that Crackstone must be stabbed in his cold heart. And the necklace that Morticia gave Wednesday whenever Wednesday left for Nevermore is actually a powerful talisman that makes it to where Goody can pass through Wednesday. And it essentially will heal her from being stabbed.
Yeah. But they'll never see each other again.
Yeah, but
Goody, I wouldn't really want to see Goody.
Goody anyway. Saying goodbye after after this, like, final round here. Enid is running to go help, and she starts wolfing out in the forest.
I knew it. I was just waiting.
She looks very Victoria Justice-esque. You remember the Victoria Justice
no.
werewolf movie?
Yes.
With Brooke Shields as her random,
oh,
like maid in the house. Oh, what was that? Like, it was like, was it The Boy Who Cried Werewolf? What was it? Was that
I
it?
I don't remember the name, but didn't she also have a mask on in one of the Victorious episodes?
Remember the zombie they had to get episode. Glue?
But it was a where wasn't it also
it was
a
zombie no? it was like a zombie face mask? Yeah
okay
because there she was in like a zombie play or something and
or
Kat
the
used
paste.
Yeah it was like a yeah. zombie play and Kat was doing special effects makeup for it but she used like super glue instead of makeup
yeah.
glue
and they had to
so
call
the
company.
No, I forgot about The Boy Who Cried Werewolf until I saw that scene of Enid. Oh, very, very interesting movie. If y'all have never seen it,
it's probably... And if you haven't, don't.
if you haven't, it's probably on Paramount Plus. I don't know, that's where all the Nickelodeon stuff is.
Probably Paramount Plus.
Let's see. The Boy Who Cried Werewolf. Netflix?! It's on Netflix. No, it is not.
Hey, no way.
No way this Victoria Justice werewolf movie's on Netflix. Now I kind of want to watch it just for the gag.
I will absolutely not be joining you with that.
It is on Netflix. Why do they put her in these Freak the Freak Out glasses in this
that
movie?
That is exactly from Freak the Freak Out.
That is literally, are you listening? Hear me talk.
Hear me talk. Hear me sing.
Oh, the one move? The fingers out.
I would do it, but my hands are in my shirt. Because I'm freezing cold.
I cannot take Tyler changing into the hide seriously.
No.
I just can't. He looks like Megamind.
Yeah.
But Enid comes in whooping ass on Tyler. Seriously,
I was shook.
I love that they still have Enid's hair color and the colored.
I thought that was really cute.
The colored nails on her.
I think it's hilarious how they're fighting and Wendy's like, peace out. I gotta get back to school.
Wednesday runs away. Like, bye.
And I'm like, how is school closed? Like, where are they? I don't get how she gets from place to place so fast.
Well, yeah, because the crypt is, like, right up in the forest, like, off of school grounds.
That's true. She had been walking to it.
Well, because I think the crypt is technically on school grounds, too, because I think, isn't it, like, in the last episode before she and Tyler went on their date and she said she couldn't leave, like, school property? He was like, what if you don't have to?
What if I come to you?
Yeah.
Great point.
Mm-hmm. I love when Laurel is like, I am from your blood and I've waited to see you. So, and even Crackstone yells at her. He's like, I don't want to hear you talk anymore.
He's like, shut up.
And she said, never meet your heroes.
True that.
Oh my gosh. We'll have a fun little segment here. Lauren, I'm going to bleep this out. Who is a celebrity that you were excited to meet that did not go as you thought it would?
Okay, wait, I feel like we've talked about this before. I don't think I've ever met, like, I've met bad celebrities, but they were people I absolutely didn't care about. But I've never met someone that I was, like, that I love or that I really like, and they were bad.
That's, like, my biggest fear.
Yeah. I don't think...
Which, like, I feel like I know wouldn't happen anyway. I'm not going to meet Andrew Garfield or Dylan O'Brien and be like, he was a dick. Be
yeah.
Like,
I've met people... Because, you know, like, the different conventions I work, I'm sometimes just assigned to someone random. Or, like, if I'm covering, I meet someone, other celebrity I don't care about. And they were super rude or really mean, but I truly didn't care. So
I feel like people mistake celebrities being normal people and having a bad day for just their entire personality. Like, one person will have like a singular bad interaction with a celebrity and they're like, they're so rude, they're blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I'm like, you saw them in one moment on one day of their entire life. And when you think about it,
those people probably are going up to them, bothering them in the middle of their day, like, at a coffee shop or something, or if they're out with their family.
Or, like, dinner with a friend or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even, like, when I have been out at dinners with, like, celebrities, like, after work or something, they tell, like, they don't like when people come up to you, especially when you're busy or, like, literally eating dinner and you want someone to come up to you while you're stuffing your face.
There are bad people out there, yes, but there's also just the fact that celebrities are people and they can...
Yeah.
Celebrities don't owe you anything.
No.
So just because you had a singular bad interaction with a celebrity, like that dude, that interviewer that was like trying to bash Dylan, and there was like some Australian... There was some Australian interviewer, I want to say, in, like, 2020, 2021, that I guess interviewed Dylan in Australia when he was, like, I think it was for Love and Monsters. And she was, like, saying he was the rudest celebrity she'd ever interviewed and, like, yada yada. And I'm like, okay, if you had a bad experience, you had a bad experience, but also... You can't discredit the fact that, as far as I have heard, you are the only one that I have ever heard say that man is rude.
Yeah, and the same goes for, like, when you do hear multiple stories about the same person having, like, other different people having bad experiences, then you can, like, chalk that up to them actually
being... Yeah, then, like, yeah, if it adds up, it adds up. But if you're the one person out of how many people that have met this, like... Dylan O'Brien that people rave about being, like, the nicest person they've talked to. He's so humble. And you're coming out on TikTok being like, he's the rudest person I've ever talked to, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so what you're saying, so what you're saying is you interviewed him after he probably had a 12-hour work day on an action movie, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Running around, and he probably wasn't giving you the energy that you wanted him to have, so that now you're mad about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I don't understand how people... I feel like people need to stop... And, I mean, everyone falls victim to this. I'm sure I do. I'm sure Lauren does. I'm sure everybody does. But we need to do our best to stop coming up with the ideas of, like, what we think these people are like in our heads. Therefore,
oh, yeah.
Like, because you can't just assign a personality to someone in your head, in your mind, and then be frustrated when they're not the person that you made them up to be.
Oh, totally.
I mean, that's why one of Josh's best lyrics that I think of all the time is, like, whenever he says, Mama said you can't be mad at who you wish somebody was.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's so true. You can't come up with this false version of someone in your head and then when they're not how you think they are, get frustrated.
People who do that need to look up what a parasocial relationship is and realize that, like you said, celebrities are real people.
People, and yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many times I joke around on social media saying, like, Dylan O'Brien's my best friend, I'm not gonna... Like, if I ever met that man, I'm not gonna just expect him to treat me like I'm the best fan he's ever talked to. No. And I deserve a 20-minute conversation. Delusional. And, yeah. No, it's just people take things way too far. And it's annoying. Off of that tangent, just from one line that Christina Ricci had in this show.
No, but Craxton, I actually thought the same thing when she said that.
Yeah, Crackstone sets the whole quad on fire. Just
so the prophecies have true at this point.
Yeah, literally. So the fire in the picture that Rowan showed has begun. Thing helps Xavier escape the police car because Tyler's dad just left him in there.
Yeah, in the woods.
Just left him in the woods in this cop car. The sheriff shoots Tyler, which, like, I was not expecting.
I thought he was gonna, like, shoot up or something.
To just scare him or something?
Yeah.
No, he straight up shot him. And so Tyler changes back into a human. He's all bloody, naked in the woods. And then Enid changes back into a human. And when Thing, like, comes over and comforts Enid and, like,
grabs her hand. I was so happy that he was there.
Oh. Made me want to cry.
I know.
Crackstone yells at Wednesday because Wednesday comes into the quad because Goody helped her live, pretty much.
Yeah.
And when Crackstone's like, how canst thy heart still beat? Blah, blah, blah. How is your heart still beating? You've been dead for 400 years. If it ain't the pot calling first. The kettle black, what is this?
Wait, also, he wasn't, like, did he have powers before? He didn't, right?
No, there's no freaking way, because they would have, like, called him a demon.
That's what I thought.
Because it would have been, like, witchcraft.
How was he able to use this magical staff so, like, how does he know? Has he been practicing in the crypt, or, like, what?
He's been doing, like, mental math while he's just
as he's laying
in
there.
The crypt. He's like, when I finally get out of here, I am going.
He's like, my to-do list.
It's like in Vampire Diaries when the originals get stabbed, but, like, in their mind, they've still got everything going.
Speaking of that, I've been wanting to rewatch Vampire Diaries.
I've been thinking about it. Somebody invited me to come work the Vampire Diaries con in August, and I have been thinking about it.
Ooh, the reunion one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got asked too, but I'm not going.
I thought about it. I haven't worked a con in a long time.
Me neither.
But no, there's no way he had powers before, because they would have... he would have been considered an outcast, would he not?
That's what I thought.
And like that would have been... He's literally doing everything that he's fighting against.
Yeah. Hypocrite.
He's like, I'm gonna kill all these people with powers and ruin their school by using powers.
By using my powers that normies don't have. So Xavier shoots the arrow, but I'm like, how does Craxo know how to do the little Scarlet Witch thing
and flip it around
the arrow? Yeah, how does he know?
And just send it back and hit Wednesday?
Yeah.
Well, because Wednesday takes the arrow for Xavier, but she's just like, it's all good. I got a ghost in me. Go help everybody else.
She's like, it's just a shoulder.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, it's fine. And so Wednesday's fighting Crackstone, doing her little flippy back handsprings, putting that fencing training to use, but
for real,
her blade breaks. And so he's got Wednesday backed into this corner. She's like, oh God, I'm about to die. But then someone stabs Crackstone from behind. Bianca.
Biggest slay.
So slay. Was not expecting it at all.
No, me neither.
Loved it. So then Bianca distracts him by stabbing him from the behind. So that Wednesday grabs what's little bit left of her sword and gets him in the heart. So he explodes.
It's like Voldemort, but fiery.
I literally thought that would happen. I thought that it looked like Voldemort whenever... Watching that in 3D was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
You watched Deathly Hallows 2 in 3D?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the first 50 people in the theater got Harry Potter-shaped 3D glasses.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Hold on.
Now you're pulling it out right now.
Oh, here they are. God. I've also got my Claire's mustache glasses.
I mean, that just sent a shiver through my body.
Zebra print.
Ew. Ew, take it off. Take it off. Guys, I'm just jump scared me.
Y'all don't even know my sunglasses inventory I have here. These are the
Mine
ones
is
that
right
I,
here in a popcorn bucket.
These are the ones that I don't wear.
But, you mean you don't wear mustache glasses anymore?
My zebra print mustache glasses. Here. They're crooked.
It's giving Bug's Life. It's giving, it's tough to be a bug without
say,
the
They
thing.
Say Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 on them.
Okay, that's, honestly, that's a pretty good, like, I would... put myself through the trauma of watching something in 3D.
Yeah, watching Voldemort, like, turn into...
disintegrate.
...dust in 3D was the nastiest thing ever. But Thornhill's still alive, and so Thornhill comes out with a gun, about to shoot Wednesday, but as she's about to shoot Wednesday, what happens... a bee lands on the gun, and she's like, huh? And then we see main man Eugene coming out, and we find out that Eugene can control them.
Crazy.
That was the wildest thing, because this whole show, they just make you think he's just this little, like, nerd that just likes bees.
That likes bees.
But no, no, he can control them.
No, no.
That's why, because...
he's mother.
I feel like mother is mothering.
He's mother bee.
Queen bee Eugene.
Queen bee Jean.
Queen bee Jean.
Ew. So ugly.
But no, the dumbest thing is the fact that Thornhill's trying to shoot the bees.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious.
I was like, this dumb bitch is saying pew pew at
for real.
The swarm of bees around her. It was the dumbest thing.
Even the
thing.
Freaking like bow and arrow would have been better than a gun.
A gun
against bees.
Yeah. At these bees in front of it. It's so stupid. But yeah, so Thornhill's laying on the ground. Wednesday gives her a good old kick to the face.
Kick in the head. Knocks her out.
Then we have Enid and Wednesday reuniting, and oh my god, I cry every time.
No, I got emotional, for sure.
No, because there's this beautiful score.
Yeah.
This beautiful Danny Elfman score.
Because shout out Danny Elfman.
Shout out to Danny Elfman. I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
You got
I feel like I would hug someone at that point as well.
Yeah, when they're covered in blood for you. Like,
yeah.
She's naked in the woods, wrapped in this just a jacket.
One jacket,
naked in the woods after she literally just fought a murderous creature for you.
Yeah,
not maybe. To mention that she'd never been a werewolf before, so she didn't know how to function any of this.
That's true.
But Enid went to town. Yeah, so they hugged. I cried. Wednesday finishes her novel. Yeah, end of semester. Wednesday finishes her novel. Weems' office is all empty because she did. But there's a lot of theories that she's not dead.
I would not be surprised if she wasn't dead.
I feel like her death was just too fast. I feel like there's no way they just, like, killed her off that quickly.
Yeah. But also, maybe they did.
Maybe. Wednesday and Bianca are cordial now. And Xavier gives Wednesday a phone, thanking her for literally taking an arrow for him. Wednesday is getting stalker texts on this phone that she literally just got. This brand new phone.
I was like, the GIF?
This the person GIF made a knife GIF, going like, into her head.
Yeah, there's no way that GIF existed, so they had to make it for her.
They programmed this GIF.
Yeah.
And then we end the show with Tyler tied up and turning.
Yeah, getting tested and then turning.
And that's it.
Let me go to our Instagram story. Okay, Jake asks, what direction do you think the show is going to go in season 2?
I've talked with Alondra about it, and we both think it would be really interesting. Well, because we don't know where Thornhill's at now.
Yeah.
Or Laurel Gates.
Like, but I don't think she died.
It would be interesting if, like, Wednesday became Tyler's master.
Whoa. That'd be crazy.
That'd be wild.
Like, Tyler's obviously going to come back. I feel like maybe season 2 is going to be Tyler wanting to not be a Hyde, or like trying to break that, you know, if that's even possible.
Maybe, yeah. Or like trying to find a way to control it, like to where he can choose when he switches.
Yeah. I want more of Wednesday's family in it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Pugsley's gonna go to Nevermore at some point.
Oh my god, please. I want him and Eugene bestie era.
Shut up. That would be
wouldn't
so
cute.
Wouldn't
that be so cute? I think season 2 is also going to be more Enid heavy.
I hope so.
Yeah. Like, that's a need.
Especially with how much they've seen that the public loves, like, Emma and Jenna's dynamic.
Yeah. Chloe asks, how do you think the next season will start? Back at school.
Yeah.
Like post-semester break. I don't know, though.
I have no clue.
But yeah.
I feel like it's hard to theorize a second season of a show, especially one that wrapped up like this, because it could go anywhere.
It could literally go anywhere.
I feel like once you're theorizing, like, season 3, 4, stuff like that, you can kind of see the direction of where you think it's going, but this is like an open book.
Did they get
the renewed? Wind is crazy.
They did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It got renewed.
When
our like first episode came out for it.
Cool. This kind of goes with what we were saying with Jake, but Terrell asked expectations and hopes for season two. One of mine is I want Bianca and Wednesday to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want them to, like, their friendship to be featured more.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said with Pugsley coming, because that'd be really cute.
I
don't know if I have any expectations, though.
Yeah, I have no idea. I feel like it's so bad that I don't have answers to these questions, but I literally, like...
You said, it was so open-ended. Maybe if there was, like, a more specific thing with Tyler at the end, the cliffhanger... Okay, Sarah asked, your favorite character?
Either...
I don't know.
Just, like, Wednesday herself, or...
Yeah.
Eugene, probably?
Stop, that's literally my answer. plot twist Enid. That surprised... Oh, yeah, same. Sarah also asked a plot twist that surprised you.
Tyler in this episode being Weems.
That, I would say. And then also Tyler, when Tyler was pretending he didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I was really believing him. Like, I cannot believe.
Also, Eugene's power. That one got me.
Oh, yeah. And theories about season two.
I literally have no idea.
I feel like we also kind of answered a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really don't have any. Like, I think if we started theorizing, it would be nonstop because we can say literally anything we want.
Literally anything.
Like, yeah. You know? Like,
there's no idea where this could go. Also, and it's Tim Burton, so it literally could go anywhere.
Yeah. And Iz asked... your overall opinion on the show and what you want to see in a season two.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. I can't believe the spread of the show. Like, seeing all these little kids loving it.
Yeah.
My coworker's niece turned 6 years old when the show came out. And... she literally asked, she was like, I want a goth birthday party. So my coworker had to go buy, like, she bought a Batman pinata and colored it all black and put all of, like, photos of Wednesday on it. And, like, and then the cake was a black icing cake with photos of, like, the family and stuff.
I love that. I feel like it's such a great show and... especially in the sense that it kind of has the Stranger Things effect. Yeah, where
totally.
It's lovable for all ages because new generations love it. Like, we love Jenna Ortega. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a fun, like, Netflix show, but then also for older generations that grew up. And, I mean, we're kind of on the cusp of these two, obviously, because the, movies... or, like, came out in the 90s, but just people that watch the 90s movies or even the 60s show, it's the Addams Family as a whole is fitting for all ages. So I feel like it's just such a good show for anyone to watch, and they did a really mm-hmm. good job at making it not too dark, which, honestly, if there's anything I would want in a season two, maybe a little darker. Without it being kind of like campy dark, like more so like the movies.
I want it darker, but less blood, because I can't do blood.
I feel like there's a difference in darker and like gory.
Yeah.
Because in the movies, they would talk about murder and death and torture and things like that more so than I feel like they did in the show.
Than showing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. But... I just think that they did a really good job at making it still accessible for children to watch, but it didn't feel like you were watching a kid's show.
That is, like, a perfect way to sum it up.
And it also, but it also didn't feel like it was trying too hard to be like a teen drama either. It's just, I feel like it's in its own category.
Yeah. Cause like with HSM TMTS, it can definitely get very kiddie, teeny, like.
It's, tart, I was thinking the other day about how weird it is to think about shows like HSM TMTS and other shows where the characters are supposed to be the same age.
Their age,
and compare them. Because I'm like, they act completely different. I mean, obviously, Euphoria is its own.
Yeah, we don't even, like, not even counting Euphoria. Like,
but I think it was watching Outer Banks. I think they were, like, talking about John B. being, like, 17 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's so weird watching this, thinking about, like, these characters are supposed to be the same age,
like,
as the John High School B. Musical character.
And EJ.
And like, they're Ricky the same Bowen. Age. Yeah. Like, so, like, same thing. Like, technically, John B.'s younger than Ricky Bowen.
It's so weird.
And Chase Stokes is 30.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But I was just thinking about that, just like teen shows now and how they all represent teenagers in such a different way.
Now I'm going to think about that with every show I watch. But I feel like I always do subconsciously.
I was thinking about it with like Degrassi too and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, there's so many pregnancy scares and things on this show. And like, imagine a pregnancy scare on HSN TMTS. It's just too, like, when I think pregnancy scare, different things.
Yeah, the only person I would even associate that with would be Miss Jen, who is the adult on the show.
The like, teacher.
I wouldn't even think of any of the, like, main, the kids or the high school.
I feel like the only thing remotely scandalous like that Disney's done would have been Andy Mack.
Oh, yeah.
With her sister.
But that's like
actually being her mom.
That's like a backstory almost, you know. Like, yeah, I was we gonna didn't say see
we
that.
Don't. We, yeah, like we don't watch it unfold. You just find out.
Yeah, like I bet kids watching it didn't even like know the implications
even, like,
of it.
Weren't even like processing that. No. Yeah. Like nobody's thinking about the fact that her mom got pregnant at 16. We're just like, okay, her sister's actually her mom. Whatever. Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna do the math because I'm what. 12 years old, like,
literally watching the show. I'm not taking time to think about this.
No. But I am. Now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't wait to rewatch.
What are your overall thoughts?
I just, like, thought it was fun. I thought the cast was great. I liked meeting these new faces that we got, because I really didn't know many people in it except, like, the adults and Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait for season 2. It was gory, but it wasn't enough for me to, like, be turned off, you know?
See, the gory parts are the stuff that I feel like they kept kind of kiddish. Like, I feel like it wasn't gory to the sense that, like, it made you sick. Like, you could tell the stuff that was gory was fake.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's what I want for season 2. I want the CGI to be a little better.
Why? Okay, like, Enid as a werewolf didn't look bad, but then Tyler as a hide is
like, was not it. And then, oh, you know what else? We didn't talk about it, but you know when Thornhill Laurel was doing the little witchy craft to get Crackstone out?
And the things and lit up.
Stuff. Did the things lit up? And then the quote-unquote
The fog
smoke.
Coming?
Yeah. It looked so fake. It looks really so did. Bad.
It looked like a house would have that on display, like, at Halloween time.
Yeah.
You would have that, like, in your front yard with a fog machine just coming out.
Yeah. It looked worse than that because it looked fake. But, I mean, I'm sure their budget originally was big, but they're definitely getting an even
bigger budget.
Oh, it's
going to be crazy now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be saving a little bit of it because they... God hope they aren't paying Percy Hines White anything.
Yeah. Or maybe they recast someone. Like
I don't care as long as he's big. Not there.
Agreed. I really also don't
not
think
employed.
Yeah. That's one expectation. we have.
That he is not there.
Season 2. But yeah, I can't. Anything else?
Not that I can think of. What are we doing next week?
Wait, next week I feel like we might have to skip because I'm really busy.
Okay.
Because next week is like my Josh week, and then I go to Disneyland.
That's next week?
Yes, and I have no idea. What am I gonna say to him? Like, what do I say?
Well, you point out the podcast, because then I'll point it out, and he'll be like, "Oh, I met the other one."
Yeah, he's gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I remember." That's like when
Josh is gonna be like, friend. "God, everybody got a podcast."
No, I'll be like, "She's meeting you in Nashville. Remember this?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I will be needing to do a FaceTime to discuss what I will be talking to him about, and also my outfit, because I have no idea. But yeah, that's next week.
I
did not
realize that was next week.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I realized it last night at work.
Mine is like, my first one is like 3.5 weeks.
Jeez. But yeah, I also feel like we can take a break next week because I want to rewatch National Treasure and I can binge it before we talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's our next one. Hint, hint, if you're still here at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I could also, like, ask everyone what they want us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So, see you in 2 weeks, y'all, when you listen to this episode. In the meantime, hit us up at Just For A Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if you've watched National Treasure Edge of History, be sure to message us or comment or whatever what you want us to talk about for that show.
This podcast is distributed on Anchor, which is a podcast app where you can record and distribute your podcast anywhere podcasts are heard, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can leave us a rate and review on either of those. That always helps out. Another thing you can do on Anchor is leave a voice message. We always have that link in the description along with the link to our merch store. And until next time, in 2 weeks, I don't know. I'm just kind of glad I don't have to say the name Crackstone for a hot while.
So true. My God. Please, I don't want to say it again in season 2.
We will see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.